NowTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Pro Wrestling Sports Entertainment.
You on drugs?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Everything that guy just says is bullshit.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling.
You will not use that kind of language in my court. You understand me?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
I'm wearing clothes.
The Omega.
I apologize, sir, but this is how I dress.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
That's one hell of an ego you've got.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
Living formal, aren't we?
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G Robin once again with Wild Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Fox with D-Generation X.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Let's get this cleared up right now.
And the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
You were serious about that?
WTR Sunday night.
Sit down and stay there until you're told to leave.
And welcome, everyone, once again to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Grooving to those royalty-free jams. I kind of want to know where that library is so I can change some of mine up. But enough musical shenanigans. We have a pay-per-view to talk about. It is Extreme Rules. No, wait. The horror show at Extreme Rules. Because someone in WWE could not wait till Halloween. We're getting a horror-themed pay-per-view in July.
It's also a mouthful.
This warrants some discussion. So, let us get on with it. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, we have Sir Rockin.
I mean, it's better than WrestleMania too big for just one night, so it's less of a mouthful. And I think it's Keishi who's giving feedback to answer Tim's question.
So, once again, we have to throw a little twist into the standard pay-per-view format. We now have a Halloween pay-per-view in July during an established pay-per-view.
And to answer your question from before, I just Googled YouTube royalty-free music.
Okay.
That's how much work I put into it.
Wonderful. All right, so moving on to the next speaker we have with us, one Keishi Matsunaga.
Hopefully,
yes.
Apparently, I don't know, it likes to adjust itself, so I'm just going to stare at my audio settings for the entire podcast.
Never let it adjust itself.
It's not. It just does it. It's off, but for some reason it moves still. There's a ghost in my computer. It's fine. I'll watch him like a hawk and just maintain it myself.
He's called Bill Murray or something.
I mean, if Bill Murray was living in my computer, I would be very okay with that forever.
I mean, yes. Yeah. Groundhog's Day 2. Bill Murray is an app. And the one who has to control all of this, good luck to him, the one and only Tim Stein.
I think I might need more than luck. Yes, that's my voice you're hearing, because I'm talking through my brand new microphone.
Another new microphone.
Yeah, I got another new one. I got the one that I wanted as opposed to the one that was on sale.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
That is standard. It's a Steinism. You don't need it, but it's on sale, so save money. And then I found the one that I wanted, and ironically enough, it was also on sale.
Well, as long as you sound good.
Do I sound good?
As good as you can.
Okay, you know what? That's a left-handed compliment, which I take offense to. Not the fact that you gave me a left-handed compliment, but because it's called a left-handed compliment. And I take offense to that phrase, because I'm left-handed.
Oh, God, someone is offended by something. Oh, my God, let's go to Twitter and complain.
Okay.
Cancel them. Whatever it is, cancel them.
No, no. Family Guy just flashed through my thinking cortex. Oh, my God. Yeah. Brian and Stewie having an argument. Brian ends the argument with, like, you know what? If you don't like it, go on the internet and complain.
I mean, that's what the internet is here for.
That was like 10 years ago.
And it's the only piece of Family Guy's material that hasn't aged at all.
It's, yeah, it's not dated.
It's becoming more relevant, if anything.
Which is, yeah, that's kind of scary. It's almost like The Simpsons predicting everything 20 years ago that has come to pass. Damn Simpsons. Oh, well. If you go on Twitter and expect unicorns and rainbows, you're going to be sorely disappointed, because that's where people actually say what they think and wouldn't repeat in polite company. That's all I know. That's why I'm on Twitter, is because I enjoy the train wrecks and the horror show.
That is Extreme Rules next Sunday on the WWE Network.
You see how I did that? Anyway. Yeah, everybody, we're going to be talking about the horror show that is Extreme Rules tonight. That means that we're going to be doing Pick'em. And for the one or two of you who may have missed it, and our first timers or noobs as far as listeners go, we're going to tell you the match. We're going to take our best shot at guessing who the victors will be based on our expertise, Omega.
Let's not kid the listeners. We do not have expertise.
We have no insider knowledge. Well, most of us don't. Sometimes some of us do.
We have like highly perfected bullshit.
Highly perfected bullshit. Well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, it's bullshit, but as far as being highly perfected, I would think a better phrase might be well practiced.
That
might be more fitting.
Yeah, we can go with that. Why not?
Okay. Okay. More practiced, highly practiced bullshit. There you go. So welcome to our bullshit show. Anyway, what I was saying is what we want you to do is get involved. This is the audience participation webcast. We want you to play Pick'em. And to do that, all you got to do is pick who you think is going to win the matches that we're talking about tonight. And you can post them to our Facebook account, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork, facebook.com/WTRSundayNight.
I like he's waiting for approval, yeah. That would
which
be
the is, name. Which is, yeah, it's either I was saying it as a question.
The ending went, WTRSundayNight?
Or I was saying it as an Australian who had a point.
Uh-huh.
Because when Australians have a point to make, it sounds like they're asking a question. That's all there is to it. And no, that wasn't a specific shot at anybody specifically. That was just a general overall shot. I like Australians. They're cool. Overall, generally speaking. Anyway, there you go. And I'm getting told in a private chat, no shit, I know the drill. Just get on with Pick'em. Yeah, we'll get there. Don't worry about it. But really quick few notes before we get into Pick'em. A couple of things to talk about. Omega, it looks like The Undertaker has ridden off into the sunset.
I mean, we think.
We've heard this before.
He let in that little bit where, like, if Vince needs him, you know, there is a in case of emergency, break glass for Undertaker situation.
you just put that picture into my head, and oh my God, that was vivid. Vince holding a sledgehammer and Taker is behind the glass with that great big X etched into it. Like you see in the, like in case of emergency, break glass, and then you pull out the fire extinguisher.
See, I thought instead of a fire extinguisher, it'd just be the urn in there and he could just break the glass and pull the urn out.
God damn you.
That works better. It works a lot better.
That's why I said God damn you, because that works better. God damn you?
That still upsets me. It still upsets me that during Money in the Bank, when they're brawling through the Stanford office, that there was no, in case of emergency, break glass with a steel chair inside it.
That would have been sweet.
Sweet. Like the way to do it.
The sledgehammer's just on a chain, so you can't actually take the sledgehammer anywhere. It's specifically to break the glass for the chair.
The perfect situation is like you have AJ running down the hall. He passes that. He goes, I need someone to break it. I need someone to break the glass. I need someone to break the glass. He reaches off screen, pulls out a steel chair, breaks takes the other steel chair.
That's good too. I like that.
That is something that I could see Casey booked to do in one of his wrestling matches.
Oh, that may happen soon.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that shortly. You guys, did you watch The Last Ride?
I have not had the time.
Okay.
I haven't seen all of it. I've seen part one and part of part two.
I have seen some of it myself. I want to be able to actually, you know, get some time to sit down to watch it. It's, from all feedback, a very, very, very heartwarming, very entertaining, very poignant, miniseries. And it just neatly, wraps up his basically, this is his farewell to the fans. Again, in case of emergency, break glass. But, I don't know if our producer's around. I know he's watched it. He may have gone for another apple pie. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, oh, I want apple pie now. Shit. No turnovers. Oh well. Yeah. Anyway. So, apparently he's got no desire to get back in the ring. You can't really blame him. I mean, how long has his career lasted? It's like he's wrestled for 3 decades, guys. That's a long time.
Yeah. We do like preface this with like the last 10 years has basically just been show up for WrestleMania.
Yep. Or the odd Saudi show.
You can extend a career pretty well that way.
Yep. This is true. Of course, at the same time, he doesn't have 10 ex-wives he's got to pay alimony to. So as far as I know, it's just one.
I thought there was two.
Was it two? I thought he was only paying alimony to one of them.
Oh, paying alimony, maybe. I know that there's more than one ex-wife.
Yeah, no. And yes, that was a subtle shot at Ric Flair. So anyway, as far as that goes, you know, thank you very much for everything that you've done and all the entertainment that you've given us, Mark Calloway. Anybody else want to ask something?
I mean, there's nothing left to be said. We've sung the praises of Undertaker for as long as we've been doing the show.
Even before he's decided to go part time. Never mind retire.
And 15 or 20 years down the road, if they break the glass as soon as that gong hits, I'll still get goosebumps.
That is the only 80s style gimmick, or pre-90s, if you will, which, you know, like is more than just the 80s, but all the other decades behind it. But it's the only pre-90s style gimmick that has been perpetuated, not by Vince, not by creative, but by the fans. And I think that says a lot, really.
There's something amazing about The Undertaker that we just didn't want to see any other way. You know, we didn't want to see him get more realistic. We didn't want to see him get, you know, like more like, we didn't want him to join like the reality era where everyone's going by the real names and where everyone's just having like real world problems in their storylines. Like, no, we want fire and brimstone. We want lightning bolts from the sky. We want, you know, I want to believe this man really is a zombie.
There you go. And I think that all stems from the human fascination with the macabre and the thoughts of the supernatural.
Oh, for sure.
Really. I mean, why else would really bad horror movies be so popular and develop a cult following, right?
Well, I mean, because they're hysterical. Unintentionally so.
Yeah. What's your favorite horror movie, Omega?
I'm not a big horror guy.
No?
No, that's not fine. Really.
But
generally, if I'm watching horror, it's got to be something in the cheesy realm of like an Evil Dead 2 or like the mid-era Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Okay, yeah, no, you see, like you could pick that. Like if you had a choice of 10 different movies, 10 different genres to watch, and one of them was a horror movie, what would that horror movie be, basically? And so you said like Evil Dead 2. You like that better than Army of Darkness?
Like Army of Darkness is fine, but like I wouldn't even categorize that as like a horror movie. Like that just feels like a supernatural comedy at that point. Like it's as horror as Ghostbusters is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, fair enough. What about you, Casey? What is your go-to guilty pleasure horror movie?
I don't watch horror movies because I'm a scaredy cat.
I don't watch horror movies. I'm a scaredy cat. I need to shave my face.
I'm a big scaredy cat. Horror movies take my imagination and like pump adrenaline and steroids into them, and then I don't sleep for days, so I kind of avoid them.
Okay, well, you're invited over to my house tomorrow night to watch a movie with me. We're going to watch The Nun.
No thanks.
Chicken.
I saw the previews of that, and I was pretty sure that I knew in my heart of hearts that that is not something that I'd be interested in participating
in. How about you just get together and watch, like, Sister Act and pretend it's The Nun?
I mean, it's scary in a different way.
Correct answer.
No, man, like, I can basically just be like, I stopped at the first Blair Witch Project, and that'll basically tell you how much of a baby I am when it comes to horror movies.
Yeah, you had to cite the Blair Witch Project. Oh my god,
that was the last horror movie that I watched. Oh no, wait, wow. I think I saw the Ring once, and I had TV problems with the Ring. Oh, I'm pretty sure I went and saw it to impress somebody.
Be happy you saw the U.S. version, not the Japanese version.
Ringu, the original.
Japan is fucked up when it comes to horror.
They love their weird shit.
For many reasons.
I have noticed that Japan does, like, because Japan's, like, culturally, as a society, is very reserved, the ways they have of letting out is, like, in the polar opposite direction. They're the opposite side of the spectrum in every other regard.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like the American Bible Belt shows the highest viewership of pornography.
Makes sense.
In the United States. It's true. I mean, maybe it's weird to say, but it's true. But strange analogy. So anyway, but seeing as we were talking about Undertale, I was just curious about that. I don't go in for the slasher movie crap, but I like the suspense thrillers, like The Omen, stuff like that. Jaws, believe it or not, is actually a horror movie.
I would watch Jaws.
See, the thing that gets me is not, you know, the obvious, and you see the evil bad guy right off the top. You don't know what is causing all the chaos and mayhem. And it's only hinted at. And the only reason why Jaws was so effective is because the damn mechanical shark that they built broke down and sunk. And that, if that hadn't happened, that movie would not be watched 45 years later. I mean, like 45 years later, I'm channel surfing, Jaws is on. Oh, I'll watch it. So, but you know, anyway, so there's that. The next one is Paul Heyman, guys. He's no longer in charge of Raw Creative. He is now, and I quote, exclusively an on-air character.
Where?
Yeah, that's a good point.
like, did he do such a good job of eating a sandwich during Money in the Bank that they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Paul.
That's Oscar-worthy.
Where has this been? We gotta change your direction, man. I've never seen anybody eat a sandwich like that before in my entire life. You gotta get back on TV.
Those really shitty in-show commercials they would do where they just have somebody on the show just talking about how amazing, you know, like Sonic drive-thru is or something. He's just got those lined up. He's just waiting.
Well, until Brock comes back or they decide to give Paul Heyman another wrestler to be the advocate for, his appearances on TV are going to be few and far between. As far as I know, he's still supposed to be on Raw.
That's awkward.
But yeah. Anyway, speaking about Raw, you guys have any idea why he got removed? This was not his decision, by the way.
No, because
Go ahead, TJ.
Because Vince doesn't know how to book new talent. He doesn't want to book new talent. Paul Heyman did, and they did not agree on that.
And what's really wild and kind of sad about it is, yeah, all of this new talent that's being booked and pushed and promoted and featured and highlighted and shown, thanks to Paul Heyman. However, it didn't help the ratings compared to SmackDown. And as much as we are all advocates for Paul Heyman's booking and his writing and his creative genius, I just feel that for the last little while, it's been a bit of a slump. Everybody goes through a slump.
Well, and I mean, Paul Heyman is used to writing for a crowd reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And with little to no crowd, it's kind of hard to get those big Paul Heyman twists and turns that you're used to getting during like his SmackDown era and ECW, where like when something happens, like the crowd usually goes crazy, whereas you don't really get that response. So it can kind of feel a little bit flatter than normal.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
It also doesn't help that like ratings are in the toilet.
Yeah. I just noticed in our chat room, first off, in case you haven't figured it out, our producer who also does the web work has just basically, when you click on chat, just has it redirect right to our Twitch account directly. First time I saw that happen, I didn't know what the hell was going on. But looking in the chat room, I see a name there that I haven't spoken with her for a little while, and I want to say hey to the Wildcat Woman. Wildcat Woman, how you doing, Chinky Girl? Let's answer her question as far as Paul Heyman and a wrestler. Who would you pair with Paul Heyman? Omega first.
Aleister Black.
I like it.
You let him stay silent. You let Heyman do the talking. You let Aleister do the destroying.
Very good. Very good. Would you have a number, a second choice, like a second option, plan B?
I'm not sure. Now I have to think. How dare you?
Mm-hmm. Now, while you're thinking, Keishi, your first choice.
Aleister Black is a good choice, but since that one was taken, if MVP wasn't there, I would pair him with Lashley.
It would sure as hell help Lashley. I think Lashley is the one wrestler on that roster that could use that pick-me-up because MVP ain't doing it. And I'm not saying anything negative or anything bad, but the booking of Lashley lately has not been the greatest.
Let's pair him with MVP. MVP is going to lead him to greatness. MVP is going to show him how to be a champion. MVP has won one match since returning.
Yeah. So,
yeah, he's kind of almost turned into MVP's muscle as opposed to MVP being his manager, advocate, whatever.
Yeah, fair enough. Omega, did you have a plan? Did you have a wrestler B yet?
I don't even think Paul Heyman could help Bobby Lashley at this point.
Ooh.
Maybe if he went away for a few months and came back.
That's as miss as it is hit.
Well, long enough for people to kind of like forget he's there.
Mm.
Like an injury or something, like 10 months or something. Bring back with Paul Heyman being like, oh, I have Brock Lesnar, but I also have Bobby Lashley. And he's just using monsters. That might be the only way for people to forget what Bobby Lashley has been up to lately.
Yeah. Yeah, the poor boy has been on just like one shitty idea after another.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me throw something at you that might come out of left field. MVP has Bobby Lashley and is, you know, like acting as his mouthpiece. He's tried to recruit Apollo Crews. Apollo's like, no, I'm doing it on my own, man. I'm doing it on my own. This could be a bit of a storyline that you work in with this whole thing and out comes Paul Heyman. And it turns out Apollo has signed with Paul Heyman, storyline wise. Could you write something that would take this anywhere?
I couldn't. The first thing that popped into my head when you said Apollo Crews with Paul Heyman was, Michael McGillicuddy with Paul Heyman turning into Curtis Axel and how well that went.
Not so good. What do you think, Omega?
I mean, the thing is, like, Apollo is like, he's like a more talented Bobby Lashley in that he's really athletic and good in the ring.
And actually sounds a lot better on the mic.
But about as much going for his character.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you have a Lashley who has had multiple things done to his character and none of them are good. You have had nothing done with Apollo's character whatsoever. That's sure. It's like he's a blank slate, you know, like you'd have to, like, if you had Heyman, like, take him under his wing, like, that's one of those where it's like, okay, let's put him off of TV for a month or two and then re-debut him as this, like, you know, like, as this second iteration Apollo Crews, give him some kind of, you know, some interesting quirk or some new skill sets in the ring, something to kind of set him apart.
Mm-hmm. You'd have to take the belt off him first.
I mean, it's just a U.S. title.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they've proven that you can just make a new one and self-proclaim yourself a champion, so can't be that big of a stretch.
Yeah, but we already saw that with Ted DiBiase.
And we just saw it this week with MVP.
I was, like, making that point, Casey.
Guess what? AEW did it, too.
Yep.
Who was it that said, ain't nothing new under the sun?
I mean, we do have we have a new U.S. title. That's something new.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently this laser-etched powder pressing, something like that, like some crazy new tech for making the belt rather than the old-fashioned sculpting.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's why it's like fancy, deep ridge, like really sharp-edged looking belt.
Cool. Yeah, I saw the belt and I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. I didn't really like get a close-up view of it, if you will.
I mean, I like the overall shape. I like that it has the eagle. That makes sense for the U.S. title. I like that the U.S. elements are kept to a minimum. There's stripes and stars, but it's mostly a gold and silver belt, which looks really nice. The only thing I don't like is like how big the typeset is for champion.
Mm-hmm.
Like it looks like the shirt of a Super Bowl championship team. It was just like United States champion, just like big bull.
Okay, good point. Good point. Speaking about titles and title belt designs, just out of curiosity, Omega, what's your favorite WWE title belt design?
Oh, geez.
This is called throwing it out of left field.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm trying to think now. Because I love things like the classic Intercontinental title.
Mm-hmm.
Cody brought that back with a white strap, and it was just like this beautiful, classy belt that had some like old school prestige to it. I watched during the Attitude Era, so like that belt, like that world title belt, I has nostalgia for. And then like there's the Winged Eagle, which like is like the hallmark of like that's a really nice looking belt. And every time I think about that belt, I realize as opposed to a wingless eagle. Why the fuck do we call it a winged eagle? It's an eagle.
Because the wings are spread.
Of course it has wings.
Because saying spread eagle has too much of a sexual connotation to it. I don't know.
So the U.S. title is now the spread eagle belt.
There you go. There you are. There you go. Okay, so those are basically the ones that to you are the most iconic or your favorite.
Yeah.
Because your favorite would be your most iconic. Casey, what about you?
I am also a big fan of that classic Intercontinental title. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's clean and just, I don't know. Yeah, like when Cody brought that
back.
Yeah,
we're losing Kaish.
Oh, are we losing me?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't mind the like the old school 90s tag belts. Mostly, mm-hmm. I don't know. That's obviously a nostalgia thing when, I mean, back when they were actually a big deal.
Okay.
Fair enough. Being a tag team champion mattered.
Well, that's a long time ago.
Yeah. Like I said, in the 90s.
back to the 80s.
I didn't mind the Undisputed title.
See, like, the Undisputed title always looked underwhelming to me compared to the belts it replaced.
Yeah. I think I liked it for its subtlety. The same reason why I like the Intercontinental. It's not super out there. It's kind of gold. There's a little bit of color to it, but it's not like in your face, like a lot of the belts seem to be today. Mm-hmm. And even if you go back and look at like the Winged Eagle, the champion, that one, like it's not super in your face either. It's pretty subtle. Just like WCW's title was just a big chunk of gold.
It
was huge, but it was somehow not in your face, even though it was like gigantic.
Yeah. To this day, I cannot tell you what's sculpted on that belt.
Yeah.
Cause it's just a big gold surface.
Yeah. You knew what it stood for and it didn't have to. Yeah. So I kind of like the more subtle looking titles than other things.
Okay. Well, for me, you can cringe whenever you want, Omega. It's the Winged Eagle. that is my number one belt. My second favorite is a little too wrestler specific. It's the Smoking Skull.
Oh.
And I seem to be in the minority with that for some reason. Now, I didn't mention the classic like Intercontinental belt because the classic looking one, that's like the only one that I have ever really cared about. It sets it apart from all the other belts that everybody could hold for whatever, you know, whatever title or whatever. You mentioned it, Omega, and I didn't think I needed to worry about mentioning it, but it was like the two that I listed are my quirks, if you will, if you guys are following me.
Yep.
So, yeah. But am I a little bit too niche with the Smoking Skull or what?
I don't have a problem with the Smoking Skull belt. It's just, yeah, it's not one that pops into my head probably because it was specifically for Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Like it's fine to be into that belt. I'm not going to make a judgment call there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a much more specific belt.
And that's why I'm kind of sort of like, well, you know, that's a personal thing, but it's kind of too bad that it is specifically Steve Austin's belt. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I'm not explaining myself very clearly, I don't think.
I mean, it's not like you said, oh, well, like Tommy Dreamer's hardcore belt.
Yeah.
It's just a European title with a license plate riveted to it.
There you go. So, but
that's another one for the discussion is the old hardcore belt. Yeah. Because it's a piece of shit, and that played to the story that introduced it, but also, that's such an appropriate belt for that division.
Yeah. Well, what do you know about the original hardcore title belt in WWE?
I know there are conflicting reports about whether or not it is a brand new thing that they specifically had made or if it was a copy of the belt that was destroyed for a promo years ago and someone brought back and duct taped together.
Kaishi, what do you know about it?
I know what I just heard 10 seconds ago.
And that's it. There you go. Okay. The rumor I heard.
I also heard that it was either a broken old one. I never heard that they made it specifically for that. So.
Okay, here's the rumor I heard, and this one might have a few legs to it, I don't know. But the rumor I heard was after the fiasco in Montreal, that a certain individual decided to destroy a certain WWE title belt that was held by a guy that got screwed. And that destroyed belt was the original hardcore belt became the original hardcore belt. What kind of validity would you put into that?
That sounds like a Marx answer.
No.
I'm trying to find, cause there is a specific promo where like someone smashed up a championship belt on TV and someone thought that was the one that was used for the hardcore belt. And now I'm trying to find it.
Mm-hmm. That may be a little bit too obscure and a little bit too far back in time for it to be readily available on the interwebs.
But I've seen it on the interwebs.
Oh, okay.
It's not like me pulling from personal experience here. No, like this was like a clip show thing I've seen.
Gotcha. Like YouTube-y or something?
Yeah, like I said, I'm trying to find it now and this will consume me for the rest of the night.
I do that at least once a month to Omega Keishi.
Do you throw him down a rabbit hole and let him fall?
Well, kind of. I just bring something up that causes him to Google half the night away. Anyway, oh, well, what are you going to do, right? So, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Hang on. Wait.
What'd you find? Don't pick on Tim. Oh, guess what, guys? Well, he's looking. Guess what I did?
Tell us, Tim. What did you do?
Holy fuck, I bought a truck.
Okay.
Yeah, I bought a pickup truck.
Where did you pick it up?
Okotoks. Omega, is that your computer making noise?
No.
And what that is, that's a cue. We've completed segment one, everybody. We're going to take a quick little time out and move on. That's what that is. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night, the Extreme Rules horror, that is the horror show, that is Extreme Rules, Pick'em edition of WTR Sunday Night. I guess we're going for a break and we'll be back shortly after this.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to stay. Bull Rider's disrespectful in a major way. Bo! You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too. If I was named after this awful stain. Oh, here's us. You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner. Oh, Bo, please.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free. Thursday night, it is the experience known as the Rack.
Hey, we love to take moves.
Let me check.
I don't know. In the truck, can we say boobs?
We need to get a check.
Hey, Sue.
We need to get a check on boobs.
We need a check on boobs. Please, can you say boobs?
We have boobs. A thumbs up on boobs or a thumbs down.
Boobs are okay.
Any standards and practices people here, is boobs acceptable? I like boobs. You guys like boobs?
Well, boobs are okay with me. Apparently, Hunter likes boobs, so are we good with boobs?
Yeah.
Listen to The Rat, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night's
event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight to Houston, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support the creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's our ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday night, everybody. Thank you all who have joined us live in our Twitch chat. Remember, you've got two options to join us in the chat room, get interactive with all the other listeners if you're listening and not in chat. All you have to do is go to twitch.tv/WTRLive or just go to wildtalkradio.com and click on chat. It redirects there anyway. If you are listening and you're not in chat, we would love to have you in chat. We've got a great group of regulars that come all the time. And we've got Matt too. Yes, that was a shot at the team chat. How you doing, Matt? Hope things are going great for you. Stay away from the beaches. Unless you're going to the beaches. I don't know. But Wildcat Woman, Lone Jobber, let's see, we got Alpha Duplo is in the chat. Joins us every show that we do live, which is really nice. That's awesome. And of course, I would love to say hello to the absolutely wonderful, lovely host of Thursday Nights at 10, the multi-time, multi-award winning The Rack radio show hosted by, yes, she's here. Lindsay Ward. Hi, Lindsay. Nice to see you in chat again.
You don't have anything better to do tonight?
Don't pick on Lindsay. She likes us. Or at least she doesn't hate all of us. She doesn't know Casey, but Casey should do a guest spot on the rack one night.
Yeah, maybe.
There you go.
I'm sure we can probably figure out a way to make that happen.
I'll ask Rock and Lindsay if you could be like a guest because you are a professional wrestler. And, if she ever wants to talk about, independence because you're involved in training the future WWE stars.
I do that sometimes. Yes.
Were you there this weekend?
I was there today for,
there you go,
4 or 5 hours.
That young fella, how's he coming along? What's his name?
Which young fella and which name are you talking about? They're all young fellas and they all have names.
Okay, the one that was doing really good, but he needed work on slapping the mat after his flips last week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody's kind of progressing pretty nicely. It gets a little all over the place as far as kind of where everybody is based on when they're available to come and train, so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's like, any school, that's why it's nice to kind of do the first little bit as a review so that you can get that muscle memory of how to do things.
There you go. Now, just to clue everybody in on what I'm talking about, Workhorse Fitness is what it's called, correct?
I believe, yeah, the Workhorse Fitness Performance Center.
Right, and there's affiliations with certain people in the WWE. what else is called Workhorse Fitness? Well, it's none other than TJ Wilson's line of products. So there's a big ass hint for you. Anyway, it's the newest training facility for professional wrestlers in Calgary here that has basically supplanted Storm Wrestling Academy, which closed its doors because Lance got himself a job and he's in Florida right now, I think. Or well, actually, no.
No, he's in Calgary. He's being furloughed.
He's temporarily furloughed, but he is employed by the WWE.
And his Twitter showed him running up and down some stairs in Calgary the other day. So that's how I know he's here.
There you go. Yeah. So, this is a bit of a big deal. If you guys have any interest at all, let us know. You can get in touch with me at Flames Forums on Twitter and, I can get you some, I can get you the information on how you can come to Calgary and train to be a professional wrestler, rub shoulders with guys like Bruce Hart, for example.
Yep.
And his brother Ross, for example.
Possibly he may show up too, yeah.
Yeah, and of course the offspring, the third generation, is also involved in helping do the training and stuff like that. So
when he's
When he's not hurt, yeah, referring to Matt Hart.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Torin.
You were talking about Torin.
Who just injured himself.
Yeah. Now, Matt Hart is the son of Smith, and Torin is the son of?
Bruce.
There you go. Yeah. And so, yeah, so if you're interested in becoming a professional wrestler, get in touch with me and I'll get you the info on it. Workhorse Fitness Training Academy here in Calgary, dramatic pause, Alberta, Canada. Thank you very much for this paid advertisement. Back to our regular scheduled programming. All right. Yeah, we're going to play Pick'em now, everybody. I told you the rules. I told you how you can get involved. You'll be able to make your picks right up until, 5 o'clock Eastern Sunday afternoon. How does that sound, Mr. Producer? He's like, don't bug me. I'm watching a movie. He's probably watching Chucky, Child's Play. And knowing him, it's the reboot, the horror show. Anyway. All right. So, first off on the card tonight, Omega, we've got the bar fight. It's just Jeff Hardy taking on Sheamus.
There's a lot of uncomfortable matches on this card.
There's a few.
This one, because this is bringing Jeff's real life struggles into a storyline, which is not comfortable.
Yep.
I mean, obviously Jeff signed off on it, so I guess fine, whatever. I think this is a direction they shouldn't have gone in. This is the kind of thing that screams of, we don't know what to write, so let's just base it on what really happened.
Let's pick on Jeff again.
I don't know. Like, so we have Jeff with multiple DUIs and, and all of his drug issues in the past.
Yeah, let's reiterate, in the past.
Versus the Irish guy in a bar fight.
Does anybody else catch that irony?
We've got multiple layers of, like, possibly offended here. We're either going to stereotype or we're making fun of his substance abuse problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not the greatest storyline. They could have thought of something else for this one.
I mean, I just get the feeling, like, they're working toward, like, they're trying to put in as many gimmicky weird matches because, A, lets them film somewhere that you don't expect to see a crowd, like in a bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But also, there's just a lot of tastelessness in this match. Like, I don't expect anything of the match. It's going to be a street fight in a bar. It's been a long time since we had one of those in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I believe that was Sheamus and Cesaro getting into a bar fight.
That was right before they became tag team partners, yeah.
Well, that was after they became tag team partners, but they hated each other.
Oh.
And that's what brought them together.
That's right. That's, okay. They were thrown together as antagonistic partners.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bar fight happened, and then they, other participants. Yeah, there it is.
Because they had the best of seven series, which I believe ended in a draw. And then Mick Foley is like, you know what? You two would be better together. Like, now go off. You're going to be a tag team now. It took them a couple months before they got to that bar where they went, you know what? Yeah, this actually works.
Does anybody else have problems with a best of seven series ending in a draw?
No.
It's a best of seven.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, if it was any other company, maybe.
No. So Omega, did you pick a winner?
Oh, right. Oh, Jeff.
Okay. Casey.
I can't pick the APA that are in the corner of the bar when this is all happening, right?
I would love if they're just
in
the bar, just drinking, watching the whole time. Don't get involved. Don't hit anybody. Just like sitting there and just chilling.
Yeah. And definitely being like, hey, you guys didn't pay us to be here. We're just hanging out. Leave us alone. It'd be great.
Why'd you pick the one bar that we actually hang out in? That's weird.
Who am I going to pick? I wish I had a coin so I could just flip it and make the decision for me. Jeff. Let's pick Jeff.
There you go. Okay. Well, I'm picking Jeff because if Kat said it perfectly in chat, this is just a horrible, storyline, and Omega as well also, basically and very succinctly summed up why it's such a bad angle. But, when you get right down to it, just being a fan and not being overly analytical, you want Jeff Hardy to win so he gets his revenge over all of this shit going down and being piled on him. So that's my pick, Jeff Hardy. Next up on the card, the U.S. title match, Apollo Crews defending against MVP Montel Vontavious Porter. Go, Casey.
Do I pick MVP because he unveiled the new title, or do I pick Apollo Crews because he's the current champion? Let's go MVP just for funsies.
Wow. Alrighty then, just for funsies. Omega.
Oh my. This is one of those situations where like what I just booked in my head is so much better than what we're actually going to get. Because what I would love is that there's no match. If there's no matches, Apollo came out with the old U.S. championship, just gets in the ring, and they've gimmicked the belt so that he bashes MVP in the head with it, and it just breaks in half. And then he just grabs a new one and walks off.
That would be great.
You know, I don't hate that booking.
Like, fuck you, I'm out. Oh, new belt, thank you.
There you go.
Gets the DQ, keeps his title. It works.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we were supposed to have like heel turn Apollo Crews. Remember when he was like pulling the tights and holding on the ropes to get the win and like starting to show a little bit of character? Like you could actually go somewhere with that. You could make a play that way.
And it would be better than the bar fight.
This is true. You're not going to go that way though. You're going to have him win so he can walk off with the new United States Championship because I don't think they're going to put much stock in MVP past just being a veteran that's there to make the some of the younger guys look better.
Yeah.
Oh, kidoki. There you go. And you know what? I like your booking so much that that's what I'm hoping for. And Apollo, doesn't lose his belt, but he gains the new one because he breaks the old one. At the end of the day, Apollo Crews walks out still U.S. Champion. That's my pick. Now we got the SmackDown Women's Championship, Bayley defending against Nikki Cross, Omega.
I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bayley's finding her way as a heel.
Yep.
I mean, I've actually really been enjoying her lately. I mean, I always enjoy Bayley. But like, now she's like really in that role.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I don't see this going Nikki's way. If only cause, like, I don't like a singles title getting between her and Nikki just because, you know, they're adorable.
Mm-hmm.
And Bayley right now. Bayley right now is doing what Bayley has basically been doing since the NXT days in carrying the whole fucking division.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see either of those belts leaving her anytime soon until Sasha's ready to stab her in the back.
Okay. So there it is, Keishi.
Bayley for the win.
That's all you got to say about this potential match, man?
I mean, I don't know. I could repeat word for word what Omega said, but does that make for good entertaining radio? Or
well, I would say put it in your own words, but do you really have your own words?
No, I'm a copycat. I copy people, I steal things. I'm a dirty thief.
You know, tell me to put it in my own words.
Tim, put it in words that are not the same as Omega.
No, that's not what I said, what I told you to do.
What? No, I'm telling you in my own words to put it in your own words.
There you go. Those are my own words. Okay? They're not English. They're not French. They're not Spanish. They're not Russian. They're not Japanese. They're not Portuguese. Those are my words.
Yeah, my own. They'd be dumb to kill Bayley's momentum with a loss, period.
Absolutely. Well, it would be kind of ridiculous. Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to the match. I love watching Nikki Cross wrestle because that girl drinks way too much coffee before her matches.
Yep.
That girl drinks way too much coffee before she does anything.
I got a match in 2 hours. Just run the monster energy right into my vein.
Oh my God. Yeah, she's just fun. And when she first came up from NXT, back when NXT was considered the farm league as opposed to the third brand, I was really, really, happy. And, I have not been, as somebody who is somewhat fanish of Nikki, I haven't been disappointed. And I don't expect to be disappointed. And, like you say, Bayley has really come into her own, Omega, as a heel you can get behind. Which is a weird thing to say when you're talking about the bad guy, but
yeah.
I don't know how we got under Razor Ramon. But anyway, people are like, what the hell's Tim doing? Anyway, Bayley's really coming into her own as the heel, and it's working great. And these two, I'm just expecting one hell of a bunch of chemistry between the two of them in this match. However, Bayley retains, and that's my pick for that one. Moving from the SmackDown Women's Championship to the Raw Women's Championship, Asuka defending against Sasha Banks. Who went last? Omega. So Casey, it's your turn.
Yeah, I want Asuka to win. I hope Asuka wins. I think it would be better for the Bayley-Sasha dynamic as far as the down the road stabbing in the back by one person or another if Asuka wins. There is a part of me that's worried that they're going to put all the belts on Sasha and Bayley, which could be fun in its own right. But I don't think it's where the story should go, so I'm going to pick Asuka.
There you go, Omega.
Ain't tempting as it is to run the two-woman power trip. No, Keishi nailed it. Like, that goes against what they've been building up with Sasha and Bayley. No, the pattern of events here needs to be Sasha helping Bayley win over Nikki Cross, and then Bayley doing nothing to help Sasha beat Asuka.
Or screwing up.
I like the inactivity. Like she might run down, but it's Asuka, so she might balk at the opportunity to actually participate in the match.
Yeah.
And that just leads to Sasha losing.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, at the same time, there's a fourth person we're kind of overlooking, isn't there? Potentially, who might come down?
I mean, WWE has been overlooking her for months.
Thanks for pointing that out.
No, they just can't see her because she keeps hiding behind the umbrella.
She's afraid of getting hurt again.
She's spinning it the wrong way, and she's not hypnotizing them to get them to like pay attention and notice that she's there. She's spinning it the other way and making herself invisible.
Just keep spinning. Is Nia in the building? Just keep spinning.
That's exactly what I was alluding to. So Yeah, but yeah, as much as somebody who has written shows and booked matches, as much as I could see the potential for the two woman power trip, I would not book Sasha to win because it would be so much bigger for that jealousy to bloom, to blossom, to explode between Bayley and Sasha down the road, which is what we're pretty much, are we in agreement? We want that to eventually happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. And if you give Sasha the title, no, they just screw it up yet again. And by the time they finally do pull that trigger, I think we as fans are going to blow, figuratively speaking, the roof off. Really. That is going to be just huge. And, you're going to have Sasha fans. You keep Sasha the heel. You're going to have the Bayley fans and the little girls are going to go back to loving Bayley again, which is all fine and dandy.
See, I don't even see that. I don't even see that.
No, what do you see?
It's like, cause, We've seen that before, and like that's the feud from NXT.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't need to see that again on the main roster. I would rather see it with the dynamics reversed. I'd rather have Bayley maintain her status as a strong heel in the women's division, give okay. Sasha a chance to run as a face.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will agree. They probably work better in the opposite roles, but we haven't seen, you know, but like we know Sasha and Bayley can put on magic in a match. But we've seen face Bayley and heel Sasha do that. I want to see the other way around.
I understand that completely, but it becomes a bit problematical to have Sasha attack Bayley for Bayley's title and turn Sasha babyface in the process.
But you can have Bayley like slowly becoming more and more paranoid because everybody's coming after her title and she can slowly lose her mind and be like, eventually I know you're, and just attack and be like, I knew you were going to come for it, and it was just a matter of time, so I just wanted to get ahead of things and get you out of my life. So that, because I knew you were going to stab me in the back, so I just stabbed you first.
You see, I have, while you were talking, viewed over 14 million outcomes or possibilities.
Oh, God.
And there was only one outcome where Bayley stays heel, and that was the one you outlined. Yeah, I know. I ripped off Avengers Endgame. Well, Infinity War / Endgame.
How strange of you to say that.
Thanks, Doc.
I quit.
I'm leaving. Okay, back to like get away from all of that stuff. Yeah, Asuka retains. That's the best move. That's my pick. So. I do believe Omega, you're up next for the next one, which is the eye for an eye match. Rey Mysterio, taking on Seth Rollins.
What sick fucker thought of this?
It certainly wasn't Paul Heyman.
God.
You might have
Pritchard was writing the worst wrestling possible in the last few months, and now you got him doing both shows.
Bruce goddamn Pritchard.
Okay, so. I'm not a fan of body horror, especially.
Yeah.
Anything involving an eye, I'm out. So guess what?
You'll be brushing your teeth during this match. That was my guess.
Say the least. Let me do something to occupy my eyes so I'm not looking at the eyes in the match.
Do you have any Lego Transformers?
There's no such thing because they're competing toy companies.
Now you've got something you can invent, but don't call it Lego.
They tried. Every time they tried. To make knockoff Legos of Transformers, they've been shit. No. I read a report where it was like, we're working on like CG emulating like an eye being taken out. Like, God, what is wrong with you?
All I know is you can't blame me because I didn't book it. Strange.
I'm glad this is a cinematic match and that they're not trying to do something this stupid, you know, like during a live performance.
No. Yeah.
But like, I am extraordinarily uncomfortable with this match. Just thinking about it, I'm gonna say Seth wins only because a mask will actually help that, like in the future, for Rey, and them having a storyline, oh, he had his eye popped back in at, you know, at our local medical facility.
You just went five times grosser than I expected to. Don't anybody picture that right now, okay? Okay, so you're picking Seth. Cage?
I'm picking Seth just solely on the fact that it's easier to pop a fake eye out of a wrestler with a mask on.
Yeah. I'm going to pick... What? Huh?
Somebody when you phrase it that way, when you phrase it that way, it is like going in... It is like putting on an Inferno match with a guy who's 90% covered in leather.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kind of know who's going to come out the loser here.
Yeah. What a weird way to get your son Dominic really prominently on TV, though.
The sick part of me is I'm waiting on Dominic to turn.
On his dad.
I'm waiting on that Sandman Raven moment.
Oh, shit. You thanks for bringing that up, because I completely not even thought about it until you mentioned it.
It was like, hey.
Wow.
He's a messiah. Let him bring someone in. Let him convert Dominic.
Just so long as they don't change his name to Jesus.
But they have to come out with a Not My Poppy t-shirt.
That'd be perfect.
The exact same font. Not My Poppy.
Good job, Casey. Oh, my God. Okay, so we're all picking Seth on this one. Now it's time to talk about the WWE mini movie of the month match, Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt in a swamp fight. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I might be hearing a little bit of squeeing coming out of Georgia.
Oh, she will be doing that for a while.
Yeah. Hi, Linz. Who's up?
I don't know. You're keeping track.
Casey. Casey's turn.
It's Bray Wyatt, not The Fiend versus Braun Strowman.
It is old school Bray Wyatt.
Ah. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
It is cult leader Bray Wyatt.
I want to vote for Swamp Thing. Well, if it's cult leader Bray, I don't know. I don't wanna. It's in a swamp. Can't we just, I don't know. Braun Strowman's gonna win. That's what I'm picking. I'm picking Braun just to draw it out a little bit longer, and then at some point maybe The Fiend will come back.
Okay. Omega.
So, your logic is sound, but it is flawed. Because this isn't...
Go ahead. Go for it.
The fact you are forgetting is that this is non-title.
Oh, right. Dang, I forgot about that part.
Yeah.
I remember looking at that and being like, oh, it's non-title. I should pick Bray. Damn. Oh, well.
Nope.
It's going to my vote.
Like, we've never had rules against it, so go ahead.
Yeah, no, definitely, yeah. I remember seeing that and being like, oh, it's non-title. Bray's got to win.
Yeah, so they're going to have this swamp fight. Bray is going to be victorious, and that builds to your rubber match at SummerSlam, where the third face of Wyatt that Braun faces is The Fiend.
What's the over-under on... Braun Strowman wrestling an artificial alligator?
The same one from the Viking Prophets match?
I was more thinking like the one from the James Bond movie.
That was Live and Let Die.
Yes.
No.
No?
Not Live and Let Die. Was it Live and Let Die?
Whichever one had Baron Samedi in it.
Yeah, that's the one where they're down in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Live and Let Die.
And the whole thing was voodoo culture and shit.
Yep.
Was it Live and Let Die?
I
Yeah, it was. It was Live and Let Die.
Oh, no, yes.
Just to address Anubis Ash, no, it wasn't Octopussy. That's a totally different movie. Same actor playing James Bond, though. So, where were we?
Over-under on the alligator fight.
Oh, yeah. What is the over-under?
I don't know. Bray Wyatt uses the alligator to distract Braun Strowman and wins.
You know what? This is kind of like Whose Line Is It Anyway, where the points don't really matter, so you can make up if you want.
Yeah, I'll go with alligator distraction for Bray Wyatt.
Alligator distraction for 200, Alex. Okay, okay. Alligator distraction, Omega go.
Alligator distraction. There. I have posted an alligator distraction.
I'm sorry. I'm distracted. Yeah, it finally came through. There you go. Okay. Fair enough. The final match that we have on the card tonight, WWE Championship title match, stipulation to be determined. Drew McIntyre defending against Dolph Ziggler, Omega.
I mean, it's Dolph Ziggler. I don't really need to say any more than that for my prediction. It's the fact of what match will he lose in?
Yeah. What stipulation is he going to pick?
Cause it's not like, oh, well, we're going to have a cage match. You know, we're going to have a no hold barred match. So like, no, cause this is the horror show at Extreme Rules. You know, we're going to have like a ring match, like literally, like not the wrestling ring. The winner is the one who throws the other one through a TV.
Weird.
I want to say Dolph has hyped this up as like, I picked a stipulation and it's never been done. Like, it's going to be fucking weird and it's going to have some horror show slant to it that is going to be really awkward.
Is it going to be awkward though? What if they do it well?
Okay. Look at the ones we have right now and they have had time to plan these out. This is the one they took to the last minute.
Okay. Yeah.
Like we could see the return of an electric chair match. tell me you could not see WWE booking that. So like Drew, like claymores him right into the chair.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't want to see it, but I can.
the winner is going to be Drew. He's going to hold that belt for a long time.
Yep.
So we're all picking Drew. The only thing that we're trying to figure out is what White stipulation is Dolph going to choose to lose through.
The Hall of Mirrors from Enter the Dragon.
So instead of punching the mirrors, he's going to claymore kick him.
Yeah.
That's where you were going, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know.
But they're also going to use the plexiglass from the Performance Center as a misdirect.
There you go. Spray him with silver paint or something. I don't know. Interesting. I have absolutely no idea what stipulation Ziggler might pick, unless it's a cage match.
Maybe he'll try and have the match on the roof of WWE headquarters and try and throw, and someone will just get thrown off the roof.
That happened last pay-per-view already.
Yeah, but.
And who got thrown over the roof?
Ray and Alistair. See, they're fine.
I mean, Ray lost an eye.
Not during that match.
Yeah, but he's not fine.
Well, currently not. No, but he was fine immediately afterward.
A lot of people fall off buildings and are fine afterwards.
Just ask Jackie Chan.
You know, I don't know. He's broken lots of bones doing that.
But he's fine.
But did he die?
No, he's fine. So there it is. All right, everybody. So there's our look at the horror show that is Extreme Rules. Don't forget, we want you to play Pick'em. So please get your picks in. All you have to do is go to facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. facebook.com/WTRSundayNight and post your picks. Once again, 5:00 Eastern Sunday is the deadline for you to have your pick and picks ready. And, oh, look at that. Kane Kittens has finally shown up into the chat room, and apparently he's stalking you, Omega.
Get out. Leave.
He says you can't run from him. Does that mean anything?
I quit again.
Has he been picking on you?
They were becoming friends last night. They got real close.
What happened?
Nothing.
On CB radio.
Nothing. It was during Fortnite with Friends. They got real close to each other. That's all. Right, Omega?
So the restraining order clearly says 1,000 feet away at all times, no direct communication.
But he says he's got a trunk for you. It's got your name on it and everything.
Are you guys becoming a magic duo?
Penn and Teller.
For Omega, that's the horror show. I think we're done, Tim.
I think we're done. Everybody, thanks for tuning in tonight. I hope you have yourselves a great week coming up. Don't forget, programming note, next Sunday night, we will be on immediately following Extreme Rules to talk about what actually went down. We'll give you our review and what we thought about it, and let you make up your own goddamn mind. In the meantime, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw,
is a post-show.
That's right. We'll talk everything that happens on WWE Monday Night Raw, the go-ho to the horror show known as Extreme Rules on the Raw post-show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. And again, I mentioned it once before. I'll mention it yet once again. Thursday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. It's another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack Radio Show with the multi-time, multi-award-winning host, Lindsay Ward.
We will be previewing the horror show that is Extreme Rules this Thursday on The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. And, of course, Saturday night's midnight-ish, or as close as they can get to it, it's another edition of Greater Than the Great Debate.
Yes.
Known as TV Radio.
We have the Greater Than the Great Debate on TV Radio Saturday night's midnight-ish.
There you go. And CB, I already told you.
Hold on. I'm not done. CB Radio Live. It's CBRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Now you can go.
Oh, you're done now?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I already told you, programming note, next Sunday night, delayed broadcast of Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night, airs live after Extreme Rules. And don't forget, Fortnite with Friends is a lot of fun. It happens. Rock will play. You can watch on Twitch. Use the creator code, Rock and Sock.
Hashtag ad, hashtag Epic Crumber.
Hashtag this, hashtag that. Yeah, it's time to do the personal plugs. Follow me on Twitter at Flames Forums if you want to get politically incorrect and find out my views on everything that I have views on. Then follow my other Twitter account at Voice Insanity. Now, if you want to talk about food and how much better my cookbook happens to be than Renee Young's, then you follow my third Twitter account at Man Kitchen TV. Yes, I'm expanding, but I got a long way to go to catch up to Omega.
I still need the one that has all of my socials. I still need to work on that.
You know, you've been saying that for about 4 years.
Still true.
You should get on it. Stop procrastinating and get on it.
Anyway. So, yeah, you can find me under a lot of social media, the main ones. However, we'll bear the name TJ Omega, unless you go to Facebook. That is TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, however, you can find me. On Twitter, it is TJ Omega. On YouTube, it is TJ Omega. And then for YouTube content that is not YouTube approved, figure that one out. You can find it at TJOmega.net.
Oh, I know what it means. And that's all I'm going to say. Casey's on Twitter. Did you know that?
I knew that.
Kyle Driver with an I, right?
Kyle Driver, what? Yeah. Yeah, Kyle Driver with an I. That's one way to do it. Let's hold that one for now. Wait, Kyle Driver with an I on Twitter. Sometimes I talk about wrestling. Other times I say nothing at all.
How did I trip you up with that?
Well, because usually I say, take the word pile driver, switch it with a K.
Switch what with a K?
The P with a K, but Kyle Driver with an I also works, so let's do that and see what happens.
There you go.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Kyle Driver with one more I than Ray's about to have.
No. Ba-dum-pump. All right, there you go. Yeah, guys, follow Casey. He needs the followers on Twitter, okay? Please, thanks. Appreciate it. That said, we're out of here. We'll see you next time, everybody. Thanks for joining us tonight. Catch you next Sunday night right here at WildTalkRadio.com, WTR Sunday night.
Rock Home.